This is Fresh Air. Myra Kalman writes children's books that adults love, too. Like the old Warner Brothers cartoons, there's puns and visual jokes that only adults will get. Kalman even has references to Marcel Duchamp and other 20th century artists, poets, and musicians. But kids and adults love her wacky pictures and rhymes. Her first book was a collaboration with musician David Byrne, in which she illustrated his song Stay Up Late. Her new book, Ooh La La, follows the adventures of the debonair dog and poet Max Stravinsky. In her previous book, Max's fabulous agent, Leon, sold Max's new poetry book for $1 million. In Ooh La La, the wealthy Max is off to Paris to write poems of love. My frustration interviewing Kalman is that I can't show you her illustrations, but I can have her read, and after I do, I'll get her to describe the pictures for you. Here's a passage about Max in his hotel room. He's daydreaming about love when there's a knock at the door.
The door, she knocked, entered a woman walking a leopard. My name is Charlotte Russe. I came by autobus. I am your French tutor. But you are a chien, a dog. Well, never mind. I have taught plenty of rats in my time, so I can certainly teach a dog. Now, put this clothespin on your nose. Make your mouth, the bouche, into a little bonbon shape. Put your hands on your hips, stamp your foot, and say non. No, 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 no. Now say, ooh la la. That's it. Ooh la la, and no. Suddenly, she flung herself on the bed, crying, Monsieur Max, I cannot teach today. I just fell in love, and I cannot concentrate. With that, she left. What a lovesick town.
Well, Max Stravinsky, the poet and dog, has come to Paris to write poems, and he realizes he needs to write a love poem, but he doesn't yet know about love. But when he does find out about love, he writes a love poem, and I'd love for you to read that poem.
Okay. He's fallen in love with a divine Dalmatian who's a pianist, and he's just heard her play in a nightclub, and this is the poem that he writes for her. Oh, my hoochie-coochie-poochie, your hottie-spotty body makes me tingle with joy. You played the legato, my heart went staccato. My musical muse, no longer confused, I have found my raison d'être, it is you, my crêpe Suzette.
That's lovely. Let me ask you to describe what you've done visually on the page that Max's poem is on.
Okay. Max is standing on a lime green stage under a canopy of a blue curtain with golden stars. And he's standing on a chair that's balanced precariously on one leg on a horizontal broom that's balanced on the peaked caps of three men standing in black jumpsuits with purple gloves with their arms in different directions. And that's the page. And he has a blue ear, and his hand is on his heart, and he's wearing checked pants.
What I like about the way the chair is precariously balanced on the broom, which is balanced on the hats, is that everything just seems so, what's the word I'm looking for?
Logical?
No. What's the opposite of that?
Absurd?
Yeah.
Logically absurd.
Just held up by imagination, you know,
yes.
Able to fall at any time, topsy-turvy.
Right. That's how life...
Wacky and without logic.
Right. Well, that's the only logic I understand.
But deeply felt.
Yes, honestly felt. It's not gratuitous. And the place I feel most comfortable is when all reality disappears, and I'm very bad at paying my rent on time, but I'm very good at understanding this page, and it feels I'm very at home in this world.
Your books are really beautiful, and they're a lot of fun, and I'm wondering why you do children's books, and if you see them as children's books. I sometimes think of children's books as the only books in which there's like artwork and text, you know?
Mm-hmm, right.
Adult books usually don't have beautiful illustrations,
right,
except for photographs on coffee table books.
Right. I was just reading the Dr. Seuss obituary, and he was asked why he didn't write for adults, or he had tried to and failed, and he said, well, adults are just obsolete children, and to hell with them. And in a way, the spirit of that is that somehow, why do you do it for children and not for adults? And the answer to that is that the forum for writing for children is, in a way, much freer than for adults. And the imagination that you can have and the liberties that you can take don't come under the kind of scrutiny that you write for adults. So you can paint, you can draw, you can be stupid and smart and strange and wise, and all of those things are acceptable. And children, as an audience, will accept all those things without any limitation. So the lack of limitation and the freedom for imagination is really the motivation for working for children.
Can I get you to describe your painting style in your books?
The paintings are primitive, very colorful, sort of, I guess if you want to put them in a world, they'd sort of Chagallesque, and Matisse is an influence, so they have a lot of visual references, a lot of things going on, and they're very kinetic. They're a big mess.
Well, they really have the rhythm and the tumult of city life.
Yes, the city is the arena for all of the madness and the fantasy that I see. And even though I have to leave the city very often and love to travel, New York especially, and the energy that's in a city is thrilling and exciting. And to stand on the street corner is bliss for me.
You know, what the great representational painters have always strived for is to get a sense of three dimensions into two dimensions. You described your work as primitive, and I think probably one of the reasons why you described it that way is you don't even bother with the third dimension.
Right. I don't know it exists.
Right.
I go right into the fourth dimension. I care more about time, whatever the fourth dimension is, but I never understood perspective personally and artistically, and I don't even try to achieve any kind of formal painting style or any technique other than to paint really with my heart and to paint emotionally as opposed to technically. So there are plenty, I know there are a tremendous number of children's book illustrators who are fantastic painters and renderers. That really doesn't interest me at all. I'd much rather get the emotion and the ideas in my work, and then whatever happens, happens.
You even use the words in a painterly kind of way. And I'm thinking even in the opening credits, your copyright inscription is in the shape of the Arc de Triomphe. Gee, I said that with such a French accent. I think you inspired me with your reading.
I didn't know where that accent came
from.
Right.
Gee, I don't know why I did that. And anyway, so, your copyright credits, you wrote in the style of the book, you wrote Viking, mon amour, this book is published by that adorable penguin group, Viking Penguin. Right. And those words are in the shape of the Arc de Triomphe.
Right.
Tell me about doing that, about getting that fun into even the copyright credits.
Well, the mania is to leave no stone unturned, and every iota of everything that's in the book is treated in a special manner and is treated with the hand of madness. And that I find a lot of things incredibly boring, so I have to make them interesting for myself. So I hate copyright notices. They couldn't be more boring and tedious. So it's nice to say, je suis désolé, mais without limiting the rights under copyright. So the continual thing is that there should be ideas everywhere you look. And there's no reason not to have an idea everywhere.
My guest is Myra Kalman. She writes and illustrates children's books. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Myra Kalman. Her latest children's book is Ooh La La, about the dog and poet Max Stravinsky. Now, you never studied art, right?
Right.
So when did you start drawing?
As soon as I stopped writing. I decided, when I studied literature in college, decided that I wasn't ready to write, and I thought drawing would be fun, and that's why I did it. So I started drawing, and I became an editorial illustrator, and finally realized that I could do both at the same time in the same room.
What do you mean you thought that drawing could be fun? I mean, I think drawing would be fun, but it doesn't mean I can do it.
Well, I don't know if I can do it, but I just do it. And so the motivation is if you really want to do it, you do it. And whatever happens, there's no judgment about whether it's good or bad. It's whether something in you is satisfied by doing it. And that's the only criteria you can have.
So what kind of stuff were you writing before you temporarily gave up on writing?
No, purple prose, it was called, I guess, moody journals of misery. And short stories, always short stories. And I got tired of hearing myself think. I thought I was getting really boring because the more... I mean, that's another reason the children's books are so nice is because they're 32 pages long and you have to be concise and you have to really get to the point and be haiku-esque in a way.
Well, yeah, it's a long way from those moody journals of misery to the kind of poems you're writing for Max, like I'm Gaga for a saga of Ali Baba and his 40 Rabas.
Well, I'm very influenced by the composers of the 30s and 40s. And
Tin Pan Alley?
Secretly, yeah, a little bit later. Secretly wish that I could have been there or was in a Broadway show dancing to this music or something. It may happen, who knows.
Now, you have how many kids?
I was going to say 10, but I actually have 2.
You're counting all your characters?
Ask me this morning. It feels right. It feels like 10.
Oh,
but
I
no,
see.
2. I have 2 children, Lulu and Alex.
And how old are they?
Who are 9 and 6.
Do you test market your books on them before you publish them?
Well, often. I torture them with the books. I think the last thing they want to hear about is that I'm doing a new book. I think they run in the other direction. A lot of the things that they say and do, and literally some things they write, go right into the books. And... you know, I would be lost without their inspiration.
What are the books you loved as a kid?
I was thinking about who my heroine was when I was a child, and I decided clearly it was Pippi Longstocking, and that her power and spirit and humor and energy were, to me, the ideals of what life was about. And that fearlessness was really thrilling for me as a young girl.
Did you read a lot?
I did. I read tremendously. My mother, who was a great influence and inspiration for me on many levels, and she really, a lot of the stories come from her life and our life together, took me to the library, and we just started at the A's and read on through. And so I was a voracious reader and really all daydreaming all the time.
When now, as an adult, you read your children books that you read when you were a child, do you notice things that are kind of funny or interesting that you didn't get when you were young?
Oh, absolutely, in the language. And when I read William Steig now to them, his vocabulary is way above, a 5-year-old, even a 10-year-old often, but it doesn't matter because it's so lyrical and it's so beautiful that they should hear language and literature. I mean, that's what everybody should hear, and they shouldn't hear. I mean, Alice in Wonderland is... obviously a masterpiece, and it's not written down to children. Writing should never be written down to anybody. You should write up. You should always look up and write up, and that's the only way good work will ever be done.
Is there a difference between what adults tell you and what children tell you they like about your books?
No. 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 The children like the madness, and the adults like the madness. There's no difference.
I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Thank you.
Myra Kelman's new book is Ooh La La, Max in Love. It's published by Viking. This is Fresh Air.